When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
No one's intervened on behalf of...
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Welcome to another episode of Puckle TCG Cast. This one, episode 11, and we bring back memories. We bring back flashbacks as to how Puckle started as a two-man team. Because with me today, I have a man said to come from another dimension, where knowing the names of his writers is optional and Halucha from Steam Siege is considered good. All the way from Lavender Town Radio Tower, and fourth gen, the legend himself, Thatch.
Hello. Also, that Halucha is good. I do not know why you don't think it's good. I think that Halucha is really good.
We'll talk about that soon.
And we can.
So, there's a lot to talk about. Definitely. Some good thing we chose to record today, because some amazing news came out today, completely changing the whole 2017 schedule for... tournaments, championships, ever. So there's a lot to discount. Right now we're missing Sublime. He might appear out of nowhere. But as soon as he comes in, he'll join us. So let's start with topic number one. What the heck happened to our championships? Patch, would you care to elaborate?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So there's so much going on. And we were actually talking about this before the show. And it's just nuts. They're just wiping the entire format. Well, not really, but they're changing the way that everything's formatted. Reading, you're going to get a lot more news about this on Nugget Bridge because it's very video game oriented as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, it does affect the TCG players as well, like you said, because they're so intertwined at this moment. But there's no more state tournaments. There's no more national tournaments. They're
Which
gone.
Which is kind of sad.
Okay. So I don't want to say nationals are gone yet.
Yeah, that's true.
In the way that you think they are, like, just completely gone. We won't have a nationals. They are replacing them with, like, championship tournaments in their regions. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Instead of just doing, like, it by country, they're going to do it by regions, like North America, Europe, Latin America, stuff like that.
Continentals.
Yeah. It's more like continentals, which tells me that they're just like, man, the Canadian championships didn't do too well.
Mm-hmm.
The North American one, or the U.S. Nationals did pretty well. Let's just lump them all together. You know what yeah. I mean?
I mean, I can also see the fact that, like, oh, you know, let's go to the Canadian Nationals because, and Canadian listeners, don't take offense. I'm just saying that's an example. You know, there's only 50 people that goes to the Canada one, while the U.S. one has, you know, 300 people.
And yeah, exactly.
This way, we can just put them all in one big tournament, and it balances in that way.
It's kind of, I would even say that this is kind of like a mini Worlds in a sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody kind of complains that they can't go to Worlds, and I think Worlds itself is its own problem this year, but
yeah.
we can talk about that in a little bit, but like, it's just nuts. This is crazy. They're going to be also dumping a lot more money into this, which is its own problem, which is...
It is a problem. Yeah, it is definitely a problem, but it also is... quite the, how would you call it? Like, an investment.
Oh, yeah. No, it really seems that Nintendo's trying to push this as, like, mostly the video game. I'm getting better at the TCG. I hope everybody realizes.
You are. I tease you here in the TCG cast, but you are.
The Hawlucha card's good, I promise. I'm also pretty good at the video game. Well versed at it. It's just nuts how they're changing everything here. It's good from a perspective of, like, there's going to be more regionals, which is fantastic.
Yep.
I love that idea. I love that there's more. I'm still waiting for one to be announced in Ohio.
Yeah.
There never has been.
Seattle and the Portland one were already.
Yeah, those were announced. The thing is, I've only heard of regionals happening at locations where it's already happened. Historically already happened. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see some new locations added onto that list.
That is true.
Maybe that's something to come in years to come. I do expect the North American Championships to take place in the Midwest as well.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie. I very much expect the North American Championships this year. Maybe not in 2018. Maybe 2018 they'll decide to move it around like Worlds or something. But in 2017, I guarantee you it's like in Ohio or in Indiana or something like that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry too much about PuckleCon.
For sure. If anything, we'll have more opportunities to do it.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about it because we don't actually have to go to a regional event. We could just, like, hang out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point of it anyway, right? I mean, we could just all hang out, and I'm okay with that. We could have our own tournament. We'll have our own tournament with Blackjack. Oh, yeah,
because, you know, next year it has to be 50 people. Minimum. 50 people.
I guarantee it's gonna be like 30 people at least. Which is gonna be nuts and it's gonna make things problematic for me. But we can talk about PuckleCon
That sounds just even better.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better to certain people like Scrawn.
And Scrawn all the way back from Japan by then.
He'll be back from Japan at that point. Yeah,
with gifts, right. I hope. Here, Scrawn, gifts. I want a waifu. Anyway, back to the big announcements. So, yeah, like Thatch said, they're also increasing the payouts. So we're talking about almost $250,000 per event for the Thai Championships. That's $250,000. Now, this is not to say that is the first prize winner.
No. That's the total prizes.
That's still
like significantly higher than any tournament we have now. I think Worlds even is like way less than that.
Oh yes, it's definitely.
It's like, mm-hmm. I think totally for Worlds, it's maybe like $100,000 or something right now.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I think Worlds is supposed to be like $1 million. I think next year or something like that.
Oh wow! Yeah.
It's like a total payout. You're not going to win $1 million for being the best at the video game.
And it makes sense, right? Because right now, Pokemon is in the spotlight, right?
Thanks to
Go, even though Go is dying out, of course. But like I said in our live episode not too long ago, the damage is done. Pokemon has been induced into the living rooms of millions of people who didn't even know what Pokemon was.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even though Pokemon Go might die now and people not play it tomorrow, Pokemon has become even more so a household name.
This is like the perfect move for them to make.
Yeah.
Honestly, like this timing right now, this is perfect. I mean, Worlds is happening next week actually. Which is going to be fun to watch. And we could talk about how Worlds has no room for people to stand. Because it's going to be a fire hazard. There's so many people.
Yeah.
And it's legitimately a problem. Like they sent, I think I read the email for like the Worlds invites.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody posted on Reddit, and it said that there may not be room for your family to come and watch.
Wow!
Because they have so many people competing, which means, but like day two, it'll probably be fine because a lot of people will clear out by then. But
yeah.
At the same time, like day one, it's going to be like no room for anybody because we didn't get a big enough place for it. You know. Also, this year, almost like everybody and their grandpa has like a Worlds invite. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah.
What else is there? There's like, so yeah, you have these regionals. Cities are just called League Cups now. They're still a thing though.
And not to be confused with League Challenges.
Yeah.
Because not only do they both have League, their initials are both LC. So
like
not confusing
Cup
at all. Not confusing at all. But League Cups are now the new cities championships, and they're still hold on local stores, so you still be seeing those.
Yeah, I think that's a very. I really wish they'd do something like that for the video game. Honestly,
they should. I think push that for X and Y now. I'm sorry, Sun and Moon.
I wish they would, honestly. I think it would be fantastic just to get more people playing the game at, like, the video game at League.
Mm-hmm.
Because most leagues, they don't have too many people playing the video game.
No.
And it's mostly the TCG, which, not saying that the TCG's bad. Obviously, you just need
better.
To...
You're in this show.
Yeah, right. I mean, I enjoy it. We're actually probably going to start going to a league here soon.
Yeah.
Because we got dragged into it by our GameStop guy. But that's a story for another day. But yeah, they're keeping premier challenges and mid-season showdowns as well, which those are a blast, because I actually went to one and I talked about it on the regular show. And I mean, if you, those are probably the closest thing you get to cities in the VGC. Those are probably the closest things you get, but at the same time, a lot of people travel to get to them. Like the one I went to, some guy traveled like 8 hours to get to it.
Wow.
Because he needed the points that bad to get his world's invite.
Wow.
I'm very surprised. And it also looks like travel stipends are coming back, too, for worlds, which is also very interesting.
Yeah, and I think what you just described, it's exactly what Pokemon is trying to fix. It's the fact that they want more people to have more opportunities to be able to participate. Because now regionals, not only are they more spread out in terms of schedule, they're also the residential restriction has been lifted. Meaning that if you live in Mexico, you can still come up here and participate in Ohio's regional, for example. If there was one. Which at this point, I just want to think that just Pokemon is trolling you.
Oh, they do it on purpose, I swear. No, like, there's never a regional in Ohio, and which is, I mean, that's fine. There's historically one within, like, 2 hours of Columbus in Indiana, so I'm not, like, too upset about it.
Your experience with Nationals in Ohio was so bad this year, they're just like, no, let's just kill it. We can't save Nationals anymore.
They're killing the one in Indiana, but that's probably for the same reason they moved to Columbus, and we don't need to talk about this. This is getting too much into like circuit talk, and like this is one of my favorite things to talk about. We don't talk about it enough on the regular show, but
for sure.
It's because I've gotten really into this stuff in the past 2 years, and 17 is definitely my year to compete. It's my year to shine.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna go walk in with a Vespiquen deck instead of playing VGC like I should.
And the Twitch. You gotta show us on Twitch.
yeah, that's true.
For sure. So it for the big news when it comes to everything and how the format is gonna hit for the 2017 play Pokemon. And we're gonna go into a small break now, and when we come back, we're gonna discuss X and Y evolution. What is it? Not just any set. It is their reprint of base set. We'll be right back.
Beat up Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. We got Pidgeys, Pidgeotos, Pidgeots, and all your basic flying normal type Pokemon. Need a Farfetch'd? Got it. Need a Doduo? Got it. Need a Staravia? Got it. Need a P-Dub? Got it. Need an average flying type Route 1 exclusive Pokemon? We got it. One more time. That's Peter Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. One final time. That's Peter Pidgeons, Pidgeot Emporium. Come check us out today and tell the Puckle TCG cast sent you for a 20% discount. Wowee! A 20% discount? No, make that a 25% discount. Do I have to make a 30? There it is! 30% discount! And so, for a 30% discount, Peter Pidgeon's Pidgeot Emporium. If we don't have it, it is an average.
And we are back to topic number 2 of the TCG cast. And Thatch, let's talk about EX Evolution, our new base set. Well, our new set that is reprinting the base set coming now in November. It's exciting news. So they're bringing back most of these old lovable relics that are base set cards with a twist. The art will remain the same, but the cards themselves will be revamped to fit in today's meta, because as we know and we'll discuss right now, they don't stand a chance if they do.
Yeah, That's the sad thing. So, like, I was going to tell you before the show, this is, like, this is a fantastic idea, first of all. Fantastic idea to be doing. Because you've got... I have a story. It'll be very short, I promise. It involves my GameStop guy again.
I gotta meet this guy.
This guy's great. He's not going to be working at GameStop much longer, but he's great.
That's sad.
Well, we're still friends with him. I have his phone number. We're going to go to Pokemon League together. but he's got, like, a wife and kids and stuff. But his kids got, like, really into the Pokemon TCG, and he's always been about, like, tabletop gaming and stuff like that with his wife. And so they've been, like, supporting this. We went to a Steam Siege pre-release with them recently. And so, his one kid pulled, what was it? Xerneas Break. Which is, you know.
Yeah.
Great. And he's getting back into Pokemon because of Pokemon Go and stuff like that. And they were always into it in the original generation. They understand the game to some extent and everything. And so it's great. So, you know, we walk in there when, so they broke Street Date for Steam Siege. Because
it's GameStop.
Because it's GameStop. Yeah. we were talking about that with him at the pre-release. He's like, yeah, I know the release date's supposed to be August 3rd, but the computers tell me August 1st, so I'm going to listen to the computers. He goes in there, and so we go in there on the first to go pick up a Steam Siege Elite Trainer box because we have no self-control. And
that's why we do a podcast.
Yeah, and that's why we do a podcast. And and so we go in there, and so we also dropped off some Xerneas cards for his son because he pulled Xerneas Break and all that. So we wanted to drop off some Xerneas cards for him. That Xerneas is getting a reprint, too. Well, it got a reprint, yeah. I think. Which is really good. I'm really happy about that Geomancy Xerneas getting that reprint.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, there's a beforehand, there wasn't another set announced or anything, right? We didn't really have anything announced until recently about this XY Evolution set.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah, they're reprinting, like, the old cards. He's like, legit reprints? I'm like, I'm not 100% sure. He's like, that'd be cool, because then we could use, like, my old cards and stuff. Sad day, that's not going to be what's happening.
No.
Because, I mean, first of all, it would be unreasonable because the highest HP you had in the base set is 120. That's atrocious.
Standards.
That's atrocious, right? Yeah. Atrocious. Like, we can't deal with that. I mean, unfortunately, but it's good for, like, everybody who's not in his situation.
Yeah.
Who is a Gen 1-er and is one in like, this is perfect timing. Like, mm-hmm. I said, like, just with the tournament structure and everything, to get the people that are coming in to get into it again.
Mm-hmm.
We're masquerading as an esport. So now we're gonna actually masquerade like we still have old Pokemon cards.
Yeah, it's totally capitalizing on the fact that the fab is here, that everyone is talking about Pokemon. It's here, it's everywhere. So let's just capitalize on the fact that, hey, remember those cards in the 90s when you guys were, you know, in the playroom fighting each other for that Charizard? They're back.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, it's really cool, and you have the list in front of you. So I'm gonna let you talk about the cards we're hoping for things with.
Oh yeah. So we got here. We're gonna sit here and we're gonna discuss a few of, not all of them, of course. We don't have time for that. We're gonna discuss a few of them and how they were back then, and how would they be now, since they haven't revealed as long, at least by today recording, they haven't revealed the base set. For XY Evolutions, we're gonna here discuss what could happen, what could we expect. So let's start with a favorite of a friend of ours, Professor Snag. Let's start with Alakazam. Alakazam, a stage 2 Pokemon back then, with a whooping 80 HP, impressive. Psychic Pokemon with one Pokemon ability, Damage Swap. As often as you like during your opponent's next, during your turn, you may move one damage counter from one of your Pokemon to another as long as you don't knock out that Pokemon. And of course, the standard power can't be used if Alakazam is asleep, confused, paralyzed. You'll see this with all Pokemon abilities back then. And its attack for 3 psychic energies, Confuse Ray, does an amazing 30 damage. Flip a coin if heads the defending Pokemon is now confused. So, Thatch, how do you think Alakazam will make a comeback?
It could. I mean, it's very similar to how Mega Alakazam's played now, right? You just keep mega evolving it, and you can use like a de-evolution spray with it and just keep dropping damage counters on things, right? So I mean, it's kind of similar to that. This is what it should be. It's very nerfed compared to yeah. that, where you're only allowed to move one damage counter. Mm-hmm. And back then it was reasonable because we didn't have Pokemon with like 250 HP.
Yeah.
And also it's nerfed because it won't let you knock a Pokemon out this way. Which is, I mean, looking at Trevenant Break, you're looking at Mega Alakazam now. That's the way they're playing now. So I could see, like, if they do it, we could get maybe a buffed version of that.
Yeah, I do like the idea of a damage swap, that you can move damage counters on your team. I like the idea. I would change the limit from just one damage counter to as much as you want, and I would leave the, as long as you don't knock out that Pokemon, as a strategic limit that you have to deal with.
I mean, like, you wouldn't do it anyway to yourself, exactly. Right? I mean, I don't even think it needs to be a limit that's said. I think it's just something that people would do, but it's probably going to be said.
Yep, and I would rank up that damage to at least 90 for 3 psychic energies, 90 damage for that confused ray, and flip a coin, and your Pokemon is confused. And then the HP, I would say, for a stage 2 nowadays...
probably like 120.
120. 120 swine's fine.
120, 130. Yeah. You know, something like that. Also, I guarantee you there is no Kadabra reprint. And we get an Abra card that has an ability that just evolves into Alakazam.
Yep. Good old days when you get sued for everything you do.
I would love for there just to be like a sassy Kadabra card, though. I like, you don't even know. Just a Kadabra card to kind of just be like a nice middle finger.
And it has only 3 fingers, so it can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Alakazam will be awesome. And you know what would be awesome as well? Everyone's favorite non-legendary Pokemon, Arcanine. Arcanine, it was a stage 1. It had a pretty badass HP for a stage 1 back then, for 100 HP.
That's still not too bad now.
For a stage 1, that's pretty high. And considering that we do have a Arcanine Break that is coming, and if you notice, the Arcanine Break that they already revealed has almost the same art, but it's golden. So that's pretty cool. Of course, this Arcanine has for 2 fire and 1 colorless Flamethrower. Discard 1 fire energy attached to Arcanine, and in order to do the attack, that's a 50, a standard fire. And then we have Takedown, 2 colorless, 2 fire, 80 damage, and then it does 30 damage to itself. What do you think, Batch? How can we
see keep the HP now? The same? Because I think that's really good still for a stage 1. I mean, that I didn't realize that there was a card that was reasonable. I don't know. Like, Flamethrower could probably be buffed up a little bit.
Say 80.
I would say probably 80. I don't even know that Takedown's necessary, but... because there aren't too many cards like that nowadays where you're doing for 80 damage, you're taking 30 to yourself. There's nothing like that. I mean, if anything, they can buff up Takedown to like maybe 100 or something like that.
Maybe switch them, right? And
that's that is the way I would do it. Honestly, I would switch them and even just make Flamethrower like 100 and then Takedown like, you could make it even 50 damage.
To make it even more Arcanine-ish, take out Takedown and put Extreme Speed.
It does
40 damage, but look for fire energy on your deck and attach it to Arcanine.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of fire types right now, too, because we've got the Burning Energy, and it's just so
and
good.
And Volcanion. Both Volcanion cards are amazing.
And Volcanion, Oh my gosh, fire type's just going to do fantastic right now.
I am with Sublime in the sense that the only thing that about fire types is the fact they're losing Blacksmith, and that's big.
Yeah, they're losing Blacksmith, but they have Burning Energy, so I think things will be okay.
Yeah, it will be okay.
There are ways to get around it.
Yeah.
There are ways to get by without Blacksmith, and I mean I think they need to lose Blacksmith with as much stuff as they're getting.
True. This is very true, and we still might get Blacksmith back at last.
Yeah.
There's always that one reprint champion set in Japan that has not been released here in the United States, and we're still waiting on that.
It's got some things in it.
Oh, you can say that again. Some things. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But
putting on, continuing on this, and to a person that always knows what he's talking about, and you can always take his recommendations because he has a PC full of his favorite Pokemon, and those are the Eeveelutions. It's Bill. He might come back. Now,
that's
Bill.
Such garbage. You shouldn't.
Yeah. So, Bill was broken when the original game, because he, back then, supporters, the concept of supporter didn't exist. So you could play as many Bills as you want. Bill, of course, did draw two cards. Now, as a supporter nowadays, that will be like Thatch.
That'll just be Tierno.
Yeah. That'll be a weaker Tierno, and God, we don't want a weaker Tierno. But, if he would come back, you could play that as many times as you could. So if you had two Bills in your hand in one turn, you would draw four cards, and that is broken. But of course, if Bill comes back, we all know that he will come back as a supporter. How can we fix him, though? Two cards? That won't work.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I feel like if they do anything, they'll just make it like a repainted Tierno. We get that every gen.
A good idea, yeah.
I mean, we get that every gen anyway, and so people could. It would just be like a more familiar Tierno.
I don't think we're losing Tierno though.
No, we're not losing Tierno. I think it got a reprint in some set.
Yeah.
I mean, also they're not going to do that because it's Gen 6, right? And so there. But I feel like I'm not saying that we're losing Tierno. It's just going to be a Tierno substitute. Like we had Professor Juniper and Professor Sycamore both in rotation at the same time before. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be, I can see it be draw three cards and it's just Tierno. And it's just like, if you're a guy coming back to the TCG because of Pokemon Go, right? Yeah. And this is the people that you're trying to market to, I would say, yeah, I know who Bill is, you know? I don't know who Tierno is. Also, his name's Tierno. And, what kind of name is that?
God and bless you for not knowing who Tierno is.
Yeah, right, exactly. if only I were so lucky.
But yeah, no, you're completely right. That definitely one way to go. Another way would be like, hey, have it draw four cards and then put two back into the deck.
Yeah, so you can
draw
do something
four and then choose two of those, and that will make it a little bit more competitive. And inciting to incite the use of that card. So Bill might come back, so that might be pretty cool. One guy that might come back, and he's pretty badass. In fact, his Mega Evolution is said to want to punch people in the face and then blast a Hydro Pump. That'll be Blastoise. Back in the day, was sitting pretty with 100 HP, which is not that bad. Could be better for a Stage 2. It had an amazing Pokemon power, which has been reprinted not too long ago, though.
Yeah, it was actually like a big thing too. It was like 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, a year ago, it actually won the the world's his deck, which was the Pokemon power Deluge. I think it's the one called.
Yeah, it's called Deluge, but it's literally the same thing as this Rain Dance ability.
Correct. So Rain Dance from the base set was basically the same thing. As often as you like during your turn before you attack, you may attach one energy card to one of your Pokemon. And it doesn't use up your one energy attached per turn. This power can't be used if blah, blah, blah. Now, I would, like you just said, that I would just reprint that Deluge.
Yeah, I would just reprint the Deluge one. Maybe you call the ability Rain Dance instead. Who cares? But you reprint the same Blastoise and you slap this Blastoise art on it and you're done.
I would definitely up the HP to 120.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because it's Blastoise. Come on, he's supposed to be bulky and hard to kill.
And he's awesome anyway. So
he's amazing. And then the Hydro Pump, three water energies, does 40 damage plus one for 10. More for each water energy attached to Blastoise, we can leave it. Not bad.
Yeah, that's how Hydro Pump works nowadays anyway. Yeah, so
we can leave it. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
And, except the end part, which says extra water energy after second doesn't count. No, just delete that part.
Yeah, get rid of that part. Just run the hydro pump that's on the Lapras right now. Yep. You know?
You won't run this Blastoise as an attacker. You just want that Deluge or Rain Dance.
And, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a fantastic ability.
Yep. So totally, Blastoise, come back with Deluge. We're going to enjoy having you back. And another Pokemon that represents luck. Chansey. Chansey was fascinating back at base set. It was the only basic Pokemon with a whopping 120 HP. Now, I mean, that's, woo! That's a lot.
And it was
HP
colorless,
right,
and double colorless existed too.
It was, yeah. In its first attack, it had two attacks. The first attack, Crunch, Scrunch. Two colorless, flip a coin if heads, prevents all damage done to Chansey during zero point and next turn. Interesting. And then number two would be for four colorless, Double Edge. Does 80 damage, and then Chansey does 80 damage to itself. Yeah. Now, I like the idea of keeping Chansey as a wall, as she is in the VGC as well.
Scrunch would be, like, super, like, broken, though, I feel.
Yeah.
That would just be, I mean, I know there's a coin flip involved, but I still feel like it would be super broken. I guess there are some Pokemon with the similar attacks now, but it would be, I feel like it'd be kind of broken.
Well, not that much anymore, because I guess with Pokemon Ranger, that eliminates the effects of attacks, it could basically just completely, null the effects of this card. So it wouldn't be that broken.
Yeah, doing 120 damage too is not that hard anymore. I mean,
true, which I would consider upping that to 150.
Yeah, I agree. I think just doing a basic Pokemon that's like 150 would be amazing.
150 keeps Crunch. I don't think it's broken because Pokemon Ranger exists. If Pokemon Ranger didn't exist, I would totally be with you, Thatch, for 150 and you could only hit it half the time.
Isn't there a card? It's like Lucky Coin or something like that. You could run with it.
I don't know if it's still in rotation. That's a good
question. I don't know if it's in rotation. I'm not sure.
I think it still is, but I will have to check.
I'm just talking about some super gimmicky things. none of us in our right mind would play this.
Talking about.
Yeah. None of us in like our right minds would have done that. You know, it happened.
No,
yeah.
We didn't care. We didn't understand the game. We would play without energies.
Yeah.
Or play, you know, the Charizard straight from your hand onto your bench. It was just good old times where you know we didn't care about rules.
I played by the rules though. At one point, it was me and a friend. We actually did really well. We played by the rules. We built decks that were like all about like I built this awesome Venusaur Charizard deck.
Yeah,
and it worked out really well. We could talk about both those cards too.
For sure. So let's move on to and. Let's do this one and cut it here so we can move to our next section and we can cover the rest on our next TCG. But we can't not end this segment without talking about the infamous, the most sought after card in everyone's backyard, Mr. Charizard. Charizard with 120 HP was epic. Not only
they reprinted this card too at some point.
Yeah, but not the same art, I think.
Not the same art. It was like a weird updated version of this art.
Yeah.
I think it was really weird.
But this big guy had a Pokemon power, Burn. Burn as often as you like during your turn before you attack. You may turn all energies attached to Charizard into fire energies for the rest of the turn. This is interesting. Even for today's meta, this actually, I like that. And you know why I like this? Because this Charizard could find a home cozy in the fairy deck with Geomancy, Sinners.
Yeah, you could run it in any color deck right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could run it in anything, and you're 100% right. That'd be fantastic. I mean, you could run it with even like a Vespiquen deck.
Yeah.
Minus the fact that you're going to be burning double colorless, but you'll be able to do more damage. That attack should do more damage.
The second attack, of course, fire spin of all the fire attacks.
Yeah.
Four fire energies does only 100 damage, and then you discard two energies attached to Charizard.
For that cost, you should do more. You should do at least 120, 130.
Yep.
I mean,
I would say up that to 130.
Yeah, 130. I mean, bump his HP maybe to 140. I mean, I don't think it should be as bulky as Blastoise, but you know what? They're probably going to try to keep Charizard's HP above Blastoise's anyway.
Because
they can. So maybe it's like 150, 160. As a stage 2, that's not too bad.
Not bad.
I do want to take a quick second, because I know you wanted to talk about this at the end, but...
Oh, no, yeah.
But I also wanted to talk about that Venusaur. Real quick.
Yeah.
Because I really like this Venusaur, and I think grass type is kind of a weakish type in the TCG right now.
Well, it's competitive.
Maybe.
Mega Sceptile is still pretty good.
Mega Sceptile is a good deck, and this Venusaur would make it even better.
That's true.
I think I really like the idea of just bringing back. I don't care what you do to this Venusaur, as long as you bring its ability with it. Just the ability is energy transfer. Mm-hmm. So it's literally like the fairy decks right now. I mean, it gives grass type energy transfer, which I would love for them to have.
Yeah.
You could play with Mega Sceptile. Mega Sceptile doesn't take that many energies. You could just start stacking energies though on like your Venusaur and be like, oh, I'll just move this over here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic. I think they should do that. Yeah. I like the nerf as well on this, because in the fairy decks you can just transfer as many times as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Here at least you could you're limited to like one at a time,
mm-hmm.
which I think that's a perfect nerf. So you're not like seeing grass decks that are being run exactly like fairy decks.
True, that's definitely a good point for sure. I mean, I was thinking to the fact that since now what's the Pokemon that did the energy transfer?
Aromatisse.
Thank you.
Aromatisse is
out of rotation.
This could be something cool to do for grass types. Then, I mean, yeah. you could bring it back to some Aromatisse.
And it's a stage 2, but it does have giant plant forest of giant plants, which
exactly.
make it evolve in one turn if it wants to. So
yeah, it needs more HP, and probably its attack should do more. But you could even leave its attack at like a horrible damage output.
Yeah,
just give me the ability.
Point, yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Forest of giant plants, perfect for that.
Yep, just speed Venusaur up.
Yep.
And then just arrange as much as you want the energies that you have. Yep. That would be pretty cool. That would definitely boost grass right now for sure.
I think that would be a lot of fun for grass. I mean, mm-hmm. just throwing that out there, anybody?
And not just for grass. Maybe even Mewtwo decks.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. I think it's a blast.
For sure. So that's it for at least today. We'll probably come back to these next month. But in the meantime, let's take a break, hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to read and discuss all you wonderful people that send us great emails. So we'll be back after these messages.
Good day, mates. Want something different? Then come on down to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse and try our new Southern Carlos-style buffalo wings, critically acclaimed. And this weekend only, Rhyhorn Steaks are buy one, get one half off. That's for you and your special someone. Rhyhorn Steakhouse is a proud sponsor of the Puckle TCG podcast. And at Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
And we are back with everyone's favorite segment, at least that's what I'm calling it now, the emails. Mailbag, Maelstrom.
It's the mailbag.
Yeah, it's everything you want to call it. So let's go right up. Thatch, hit the first one.
All right, so this one's from Woody, my eternal rival. Hey, it's Woody. I saw the Steelix EX and its Mega Get pool that a pre-release in the two cards piqued my interest. I was wondering if you saw the potential in the cards. I think that Mega Steelix takes like 5 energies to attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of energies.
It is. It's definitely not one card I would consider to do a deck around. It's just...
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so many energies. It's a league card.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the definition of a league card.
Yeah.
Also on the topic, what's the future for steel decks? Will they be a new threat in the meta, or will they go back to being a less optimal type, optimal style deck with Bronzong disappearing from the Fanta? What is the PH? From the rotation, I assume.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't looked too much into metal recently.
So metal had a great thing going for it.
It's still got Scissor, right? Is Scissor still in rotation?
Yeah, it is, but it's not that good.
I mean, it's not as good as everything else, but yeah.
Yeah, Bronson is what really made Metal stand out. Bronson's ability, of course, would let you get a Metal Energy from the discard pile and attach it to any bench Pokemon on the bench.
Yeah.
And that made it very, very sustainable. Because mm-hmm. the problem with Metal is, so they're high defense, they're high HP, right? They're dedicated to take a lot of hit. But
yeah.
the only way they can deal damage is by spending a lot of energies. Much like Fire, but Fire is a little bit more tamed, which is kind of ironic. Metal, you need to sometimes discard 2, 3, even all of your energies in order to be able to deal 150, 140 damage. So that they're very expensive. And Bronson allowed the Metals to be able to consistently attack. With Bronson out of the game, that is a problem for Metal. Because they can no longer sustain mm-hmm. the damage as they used to. So to answer your question, Woody, I don't know. If Bronson yeah. gets reprinted or something similar too, we definitely going to see Metal back. In the meantime, things don't look good for it.
I mean, we're probably not going to see much happen from the XY evolution set either. I mean, you're not going to see too much Metal coming from that. And I don't know. I don't know what you're going to see. It's going to be weird.
Weird is definitely one way to
put
it.
That's the way to definitely say it. I mean, Metal's definitely not... I don't know. Metal's probably going to become one of those types that you don't use so often. And, I mean, that's not a bad thing. That happens
every occasion. It still has good cards, right? It's not. We're not saying that Metal doesn't have potential. Yeah. But
I mean, I'm a fan of the Scissor EX that Jushiro's not. But
it's not a bad card. It's just, again, the problem with TCG
is that... It's suboptimal.
There's other things that do pretty much the same, but better.
Yeah.
And that's where... And Scissor's not bad. And Mega Scissor's not bad. It's just that, you know, if you're going to have a Mega Evolution, it better deal damage. Or at least have, like, an yeah. amazing setup attack, like Mega Manectric.
Yeah, that's true.
But Woody, thank you so much for sending in an email. And I think you have one more question. Oh, yeah. Last question is...
The Ranger card. We talked about that.
For those of you who don't know, Ranger card basically is... It takes out any effects of opponent's attack. So let's say Sismitoad EX, which trainer locks you, Pokemon Ranger will unlock you. And it's a groundbreaking card. It's really good. There's going to be... I don't see Pokemon Ranger as a combo, because it's not. It's more of a counter. It's to prevent combos. So it's a... Pardon, I just have to do it. It's a combo breaker. So that's what the purpose of Pokemon Ranger is to prevent yeah. your opponent from doing combo. So thank you
yeah,
so
would, much. Would that affect something like Vespiquen?
No. Because it's for lasting. For example, Sismito's Trainer Lock, Jolteon EX, when it attacks, if it's a basic Pokemon, okay. it can attack back. Well, you will be able to attack back, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It just negates. That was the word I was looking for all this time. Negate. Thank you. It will negate the effects of attacks. Which is welcome. It's just, to me, it's like, well, thank you, but we kind of needed this 2 years ago, but hey, it's here.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's go on to the next mail. And this one comes from 10 Little Men. Canada's on a roll. Howdy ho, Lord Jushiro, Sublime Minic. He's not here, unfortunately. And random other co-host. 10 Little Men here, wondering if I could get some help with brainstorming for my deck. I just got into TCG. Thanks to you wallet-hating people, and want to build my first deck without looking at a deck list. I plan on building a deck around Magnezone and Raikou. I was wondering, what other Pokemon would you recommend? Are there any essential electric Pokemons or items that any good electric deck needs? Advice would be very appreciated. Keep up the great work. 20 papery flip-flops, 10 Little Men. Must now retreat. Thank you, 10 Little Men. both Magnezone and Raikou are both excellent cards. Magnezone is basically Blastoise. Diluted,
yeah.
but for electric types, right? So you'd be able to play electric energies as much as you want during your turn, which is amazing. And Raikou has an interesting ability, which is not really good. Of course, for those who don't know, Shining Body, if it has an electric, it does any attacks done to it, it's 20 less. Meh.
It's got a resistance built into it, I guess.
True. And of course, but the attack is interesting. It's Thunder Lens for 3 colorless energies. This attack does 20 more damage for each electric energy attached to this Pokemon. It definitely has some viability.
Yeah, you could do that with a Magnezone, I think. I think that's possible.
The only problem I see is the fact that electric doesn't have many ways to accelerate evolution, right? Unless it's for rare candy, you won't be able to get Magnezone first. Water has Archie's Ace in the Hole. Ground has Maxie's Hidden Ball Trick. And of course, grass has Forest of Giant Plants. All of these cards accelerate evolution, where you can get that stage 2 on your bench as soon as possible. Electric doesn't have that convenience. So that's the only part that if you're going to play electric, you know it's going to be a little bit slow. Now, I like Raikou because it's a stage 1, I'm sorry, basic Pokemon with a lot of damage potential. And that is pretty good. Especially since you can combine it with Fighting Fury Belt.
Yeah.
Given an extra 40 HP, I will run it up to 160 HP, doing extra 10 damage, would up it to 60, plus 20 for each one. Let's say it has a 3, that's another 60, doing 120 damage with 160 HP, and it takes less damage. I have to say, that's not bad at all. Now,
it's not bad. It's not bad. This is definitely something to try out at League.
The only way, though, that I can see this deck becoming really powerful, if its Mega Rayquaza deck comes back. Mega Rayquaza deck, I've been telling people, that deck is going to make a huge comeback after the rotation, because the only reason Mega Rayquaza is not being played is Night March. Night March is the complete counter for that deck. Once Night March is sleeping with the fishes, Mega Rayquaza is going to come back, because in the rotation, it won't lose a single card. It will be as effective, as powerful as it once it was when it came out. So if Mega Rayquaza comes back full force, I can see electric being very, very powerful. And you were saying, Patch, in terms of trainers, about Clement, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell our listeners.
Oh my gosh, I lost Clement. He does something electric types.
It was the energies.
Yeah, he plays with the energies. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot. I whiffed. I'm so sorry.
No worries. It basically brings back 4 energies from your... Not brings back.
That's
you're able to search 4 energies.
Put them back in your hand. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's... I think that's decent. I mean, it's kind of like Blacksmith.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, instead of the discard pile would be the from the deck directly, which is amazing.
The fact that
with Magnezone, you can play all those 4 energies on a single turn.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, it would also work out really well with the Raikou. I mean, you get 4 on Raikou, right?
Putting energies on Raikou.
You can just drop 4 on Raikou, and so you're doing with the Fighting Fury Belt. You're doing, like, what is it, 120, 140?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's nutso. I mean, just, and yeah, like, if Mega Rayquaza comes back, we're going to be, you're going to want that.
Mm-hmm. The electric needs to make something, because Rayquaza might be coming back, and we need to counter Rayquaza. That deck is really good. So, thank you, Ten Lemon. I hope that helps. And if you have any questions, please let us know. On to the next one, and we have a new writer, Thatch. Take us for a ride with River Woods.
River Woods. Oh, yes. So let's see. I got to see where he starts. Here we go. Wait, nope. Here we go. Hello, all. You can call me River Woods, first-time rider. Just taking a few minutes of my time to tell Jushiro, Sublime, and the gang they are doing an amazing job with the TCG cast.
Aw, shucks.
Listening to the last episodes got me so hyped that it got me to go to a pre-release event last weekend for Steam Siege, and man, was that amazing. It's awesome. A blast.
It is a blast. And Steam Siege is a fun set.
Mm-hmm. Steam Siege is a lot of fun. It's got that Hawlucha. It's probably the best card in the set. But I'm just, this is my Tyranitar. You got to give it to me.
I will definitely give it to you.
First off, before going, I had the smartest idea ever. Smarter than Hooves for Hands. Two players equals more packs. So I took my girlfriend, who had never played any card games, to it. Genius, I know. She had no other option than saying yes, right? Pretty sure it's part of her conjugal duty. Anyways, arriving there, they gave us the pre-release boxes. I knew it was going to be a cool night when I ended up with a Hoopa deck and she ended up with the Volcanion one.
Oh,
the two promos I wanted. Then it got even better. I got this Full Art Professor, Sick Artwork, Sycamore, in my initial four packs, and she got a bunch of holos. I won't go into too many details about my matches, but one thing's for sure, the ambiance of these pre-release matches is really amazing. Everyone is friendly and relaxed. Even the sore losers were having fun. I mean, it's a blast because it's super casual.
Yep, and the prize is good, but people are there to see the new cards and just to have a blast with
it. Yeah, I mean, it's super nice and it's super laid back, and everybody there is just like, yep, these are the cards I have. So it's nothing like, it's not like an issue like if you were going to a real tournament, like, oh, I didn't pay enough money to do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Here it's like, yeah, we all paid the same amount. We all got
dealt
the cards we got dealt.
Exactly.
I mean, I think a pre-release is the first thing you should do if you're looking to get into the TCG. And I know you want to do an episode on that at some point. So there's my tidbit.
For sure.
I won't go into any detail. Okay. I ended up with 4 wins, 2 losses, losing to better cards both times. That's not bad at all. I mean, any EX in a sealed format is pretty overpowered, but it was still fun to lose those cards. Oh, and my girlfriend, who's never played the card game, finished with 2 wins.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like Misty. Awesome. Sounds like Misty. I give her a video game. I build her a team. I like build a team for Pokemon, right? And we go to Premier Challenges or like anything. And she's just like, yeah, I figured it out. And she does as well as I can. I do. You know what I mean? It's just nutso.
Yep.
We ended up with 6 bonus packs containing Xerneas Break and Gardevoir EX. That's awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That Xerneas Break is really good.
Yes,
man,
yes.
What an amazing night. And guess what? My girlfriend had such a good time, she wants to go to the next pre-release event. Really an amazing night.
Wow, win-win.
Yeah, right?
Happy girlfriend, happy night. You can't get better than that.
Exactly. Anyways, all that thanks to you, TCGcast. Hearing your show got me hyped enough to go to that pre-release event. There we had a ton of fun, met some really nice people, and got some awesome cards. You guys are the best.
Aww.
Oh, and I guess Normal Puckle is pretty decent, too.
So
and I'm the one reading this, and I'm sitting right here. I'm just letting you know. I'm sitting right here.
Priceless. If I only I could frame...
Frame those words. Just frame words right there. That's like a quote right there. We should get that. We should get that memorialized. I guess Normal Puckle's all right. Keep up the great work, River Woods. And then he asked for some more TCG cast. Well, maybe we'll talk about it.
He's the boss, so keep insisting.
We're thinking about it. We're giving it some thought because I mean it's got some implications.
It does. But River, thank you so much for emailing. That was an amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's something good email to read at 10:30 at night.
If I would give badges, I would definitely. This would be in consideration, but I don't because I don't have the money and resources. Because you know, Patch takes all the resources for his show and leaves none to me. But other than that, I am so glad that you have an amazing time. Pre-releases are so much fun because of exactly what Thatch was saying. You don't need to be an expert. Nobody is going there with a pre-made deck. Everyone basically are going to get the cards that are dealt for them. Everybody has to build with what they have, and it's really random. And that's what makes them so much fun. Everybody has been placed on equal grounds. And it's just so much fun. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats on both Xerneas Break. This is a
great
amazing cards, which will basically go on more detail on a future podcast.
Yeah.
But also for that Volcanion promo, because Volcanion for sure is a great card.
Yeah, I got that one.
Oh, yeah. So let's go ahead. And of course, I know and I love this email had also a suggestion for Pokemon 15 question. Unfortunately, we had not enough people this time around, so we have to skip that part, unfortunately. But when we come back, definitely we'll schedule, and thank you for the recommendation, Riverwoods. So let's go on to the next one, which comes all the way from Alaska. Minor Manectric, saying, "Dear Jushiro and esteemed colleagues," and also Tash. I added that part.
But it's true. It's true, though. That's the sad part.
"Forgive me, for I am but a wee lad in terms of the PTCG, but I feel that dual typing has a shake-up in the meta in a big way." Big way, right? "Granted, most of my experience at this point comes from playing with the pre-made decks, and I have little knowledge of using EXs and Megas and Break cards, but I would assume it's a very big deal. Also, I wanted to thank you all for showing me the light that is TCGO. I feel like I should apologize instead. I have spent more time than I would like to admit, but I have really enjoyed learning another game in the realm of Pokemon. Finally, I've been unable to resist the urge to buy boosters. Join the club. I collected and sorted through the cards I had, and I was able to narrow it down to a select group of 60 and sleeve them on Sunday. I will be going to my first league meeting in the next Sunday, so wish me luck." I don't know if it already passed, but if it hasn't,
yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
Wish me a lot of luck. Boosters have not been the kindest. I have a lack of good supporters. Anyway, thanks for the podcast, Minor Manectric."
there's actually we're like half doing an episode on like how to get into the TCG. Or I am. Yeah. Inadvertently, and I apologize. but like there's like this intro deck set that you can buy. It's it's like $25 and
it's
like
trainer kit?
It's yeah, not like the trainer kit. It's a little bit different. Like if you buy the trainer kit, it's not as good.
Mm-hmm.
It's this like Xerneas and Yveltal double deck thing.
Oh yeah.
And if you buy those, they actually come with many of the trainers that you would need to like do well competitively, and you'll get like a full set of four of like Ultra Ball and a full set of four of like whatever else you might need.
Yeah, when you start getting in, and funny you said that, Thatch, because I was also working on a how to get into TCG episode. It's a lot harder when you're going to start from scratch, and not because of the EXs, not because of the Shaymin EXs or the Volcanion EXs or whatever EXs you might think. The problem lies on the trainers, because unlike those EXs, well, with the exception of Shaymin that goes in every single deck, are very specific for very specific decks. Meanwhile, the trainers, you need them for all decks. You need a Hexmaniac. You need Sycamore. You need all these cards that are just staples in every single deck. And those are where the money goes, unfortunately, when you're starting from scratch. I would recommend definitely go online and buying these cards directly, not from boosters. Luckily, these supporters are not expensive. Sycamore goes for cents. Hexmania, the max you can pay for that, it's $2, and those supporters are not that hard. The expensive ones are things like Via Seeker is really expensive. It's like $15 per card, but it's because it's such a good card. I remember when we were in Nationals, we were building Misty's decks, and I was telling Thatch, helping Misty, you know, buttering up to Thatch, explaining to him that, hey, yes, she needs Via Seeker. She only has one. She needs at least three. It's 15 each one, but it's an investment because that card you're going to keep using on every single deck.
And we did that. We spent the money.
Because it's such an important card. So that's where the money goes, unfortunately, when you're starting from scratch. But no worries, you can still build up to that. I'm just glad that you definitely are playing, and TCGO is a great tool because it doesn't cost any money if you just go for what they give you, and the decks they provide are actually pretty sweet. They're not bad at all. I mean, they won't they won't win against Night March or Mega Rayquaza, but they're still decent that you can play, and they provide good cards.
The PTCGO is also super kind in that like it just kind of it rewards you like all the time. It's like, oh, you tried, here, have like 20 coins.
Tournaments, the tournaments, you win 3 boosters.
Yeah, you can win.
You win, and the chances of you winning are actually pretty high.
It's not hard. I mean, you can definitely build up a good collection of cards on the TCGO if you play like every day, like 3 or 4 matches. I mean, you could easily build up a decent collection even without buying a single card in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You could build up a decent collection, I think. And yeah. So it's just one of those things you got to keep doing. You won't be able to get like a bunch of Shaman EX, unfortunately. But
yeah. But then to answer the question that Minor Manetric has kind of ignored is the fact that how is dual typing impacting the meta? Well, actually, Minor Manetric, not that much. The fact is because we've already had dual typing in the past.
Yeah.
And Datch can perfectly explain, because one of his favorite decks are Vespiquen, and Vespiquen Evolution deck is all based on multi-typing. Explain it.
Oh, yeah, no. So, like, in the Ancient Origins, they dropped these three evolutions, the Flareon, Vaporeon, Jolteon, and they each they have an ability that makes all of the attacks of your active Pokemon that type, in addition to the type it already has. So, I mean, you could technically run in the Evolution deck, you could technically run all three. In the Vespiquen deck, if you really wanted to, but I don't think it's smart.
No.
But you could. I run two currently, and so like you do that. So you could get fire typing or electric typing or water typing on these Pokemon.
Yep.
But I mean, it's the same thing as you're saying right now. This dual typing, how is it affecting anything? I mean, the same way it had before.
Yeah. The only exception is that now. Technically, it's official, and I say official in the sense that it's printed on the card, right?
Not to mention, this happened in the TCG before, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were other cards that were dual-type prior to this.
Yeah, the
weird. It was like island. It was a really long time ago.
Yeah. It's back when I just left the TCG.
It was like Neo or something like that.
Where most of them were metal combined with something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, anyway, though, it is a great, great feature, and it's a great thing that these dual types are something interesting. Right now, the current ones, the problem is that they're not good attackers, and if you want to be a dual type Pokemon in the TCG, you want to be an attacker so you can take advantage of having multiple Pokemon having weakness against you.
Mm-hmm.
But if they continue these trends, we might see some amazing sweepers and attackers that you can base a deck around on multi-type, which would be amazing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So moving on, I'm going to take the next one because it's really short, and it comes from none other than our favorite Gator from someplace around here in the United States. It says, "Hello, TCG crew. Gator here with a question about the TCG. Do you have any tips or tricks for trading on PTCGO? I always feel like I'm getting ripped off on my trades. Catch you on the flip. Flop, hip, hop, hippopotamus, Gator." And let me tell you, for English not being my first language,
you're pretty good.
Pretty well. I pulled that one off. Gator, thank you for emailing. And by the way, I have to tell you, your challenge, I'm going to move it for next month, unfortunately, because I don't have people and I don't want to waste it on Thatch, basically. But next month, you're...
Because I would get it too fast.
You're... 15 questions will definitely be featured. So, Gator, good question. So, and this is something that has come up in the our chats multiple times, and it's the fact how trades works, right? On PTCGO, it's difficult to explain. So, people can just go in and put whatever they want or whatever they expect for their cards. The key point is, don't listen to those people. You have to go in and search and even send messages to negotiate. Don't go ahead and trade, a shaming for whatever, a Volcanion EX. That's not a fair trade. And I'm being generous here because it goes a lot more crazier than that. And those public trades are just not accurate representation of what people would ask. I would compare it to the global,
it's the GTS. It's literally the GTS.
GTS, where people would ask for ridiculous Pokemon for Pokemon that are not worth that. And that's the problem with the PTCGO. However, there's ways around it. Number one, people don't realize it, but there is a trade chat that you can click on, and it's active chat where people are constantly looking for cards and they're bargaining, and then they say, "Hey, I'm looking for this. Do I have any offers? Or I am trading this. Do I have any offers?" And it's kind of like an auction. And you can get way better deals of that. So you can find that on the chat. The other is, and if you can get the name and you can send them a message, do a counter proposal. Hey, I want that card that you're trading, but I think that, you know, I don't have those cards that you're saying. Can we make an arrangement? Many people are nice and they're willing to bend. Others are jerks and they won't, but hey, you don't need their help. So there's definitely ways. The other one that I recommend is, and this one does cost a little money. So people don't know that you can go to Amazon and you can buy digital boosters for nothing. Like $12 or $14 for 36 digital boosters. And they will send you 36 scanned cards, which you can enter, and you will have those boosters. Of course, you can open them, but a better idea is to hold for them, because many people trade for boosters, specifically the newest one, right? Right now, that would be Steam Siege. So people would request, instead of trading for cards, hey, I would trade this Shaymin for 15 boosters. And Shaymin for 15 boosters is actually not that bad, considering they have, you just bought twice of that for $12. You might actually consider trading those 15 or 20 boosters for a Shaymin.
You could go for a Shaymin by like playing a lot and buying your own Roaring Skies packs, but like,
but it's just, that's the problem.
It's inefficient.
Right? It's a booster. That's the problem. But yeah, no, there's many ways, and I hope these suggestions do help you guys in that. So let's go on to the next one. Take it away. This one is from Sentient Pokeball.
All right. Greetings, TCG Cast crew. It is I, the Sentient Pokeball, gracing your ears for the first, with my first email to the TCG podcast. I would like to say that I have eagerly anticipated each installment of this podcast, even though I haven't played the TCG since base set. I had mostly written off a long time ago as something I'd never ever play again, but thanks to all of your hard work putting this podcast together, it has renewed my interest. So thank you. I'll be trying out TCG Online very soon. Ever since listening to the podcast, I have learned that my old deck builds were terrible. I used to put 25 plus deck energies in a deck, only 10 traders, and then 20 to 30 Pokemon. Well, that was actually good in base set.
I was going to say that. Yeah, exactly that. Well, actually, that was the norm back then.
Yeah. I would try to build up every Pokemon I had on the bench instead of using certain ones as attackers and others as tech cards. I mean, again, base set. though, to be fair, back then the only prominent tech cards I can think of were Muk, Alakazam, and Chansey, and Venusaur for energy transfer. So it's weird to think that I would only use 10 trainers too, since this day TCG has realized that trainers can be overpowered if they don't limit certain ones only once per turn.
Yep.
Yeah, like Pokemon Center and stuff like that. Remember when Lysander was just a gust of wind that you'd find pretty much in every booster? Good times. Yeah. Now he's a Hawlucha, which is awesome.
Or computer search was a thing.
Yeah, a computer search, right? Good when you can find a double colorless in your deck, right?
It's just computer search for it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough nostalgiaing. I'm caught up on modern mechanics and strategies thanks to you guys, and I hope to use that newfound knowledge to have some fun playing online. Keep up the great work. I am eager to hear what the next podcast will have in store, the Sentient Pokeball.
I hope we didn't disappoint, although I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah.
But thank you for writing, Sentient Pokeball, and I'm glad that you brought this. We actually had today's topic about the base set not even reading on your email, so happy coinkidink. But yeah, most of those cards were so good back then. I mean, being able to play computer search for so long, for so many times, it was just like, oh, so overpowered. Of course, on the other hand, the Pokemon themselves felt not that much overpowered. So I guess that's how they balanced out. But yeah, no, thank you. And let's go to the last email of the day. It will be from R. Raichu Sigma. And he says, hello, Puckle TCG cast crew. Upon returning home from PuckleCon, I came to realize that it was time to find a deck to replace my soon-to-be-rotating Night March. I hate you. I'm kidding. I love you, Ice Sigma. It's just, you know, you now fall under those who play Night March. Yeah. Well, researching deck information is no.
Okay, to be fair, Night March is cheap.
It is, it's cheap. It's a great deck. It's just the hate. You know, it's so good that you have to hate it.
Yeah, right.
While researching deck information is nowhere near as easy as with Magic, seriously, MTG Goldfish site's layout is leagues ahead of any Pokemon website I've found. I found that to be plenty of really sweet cards I look forward to playing throughout the new standard. For the time being, I'm enjoying playing a Raichu Break. While it's nowhere near the strongest deck in the format, I've been having some exceptionally fun matches online, and I certainly look forward to the Garchomp losing its Focus Sash and Corina. That is true. Fighting is going to take a great hit when those two cards leave. I often find the Raikou in the deck to be the card that pulls me out of some dire situations, combining nicely alongside a Magnezone and either a Clement or Fisherman.
We were literally just talking about this.
Well, 10 Little Men brought this up as well. And good, yeah, Fisherman. That's a great card for that deck as well, 10 Little Men. Of course, for those who don't know, Fisherman is take up to 4 energies from your discard pile and put them back to your deck. To your hand. For my next deck idea, continues R Sigma, I am looking for either some sort of Ivelta deck because the deck looks interesting, Glaceon Regice deck, since Jolteons are so expensive, tell me about it, brother, or Greninja deck because Greninja has a fact made it up to be my 3rd favorite Pokemon. Oh, interesting. But I think I'll wait for the new meta to sort itself out first. If only VS Seeker weren't a $10 uncommon. We were just talking about that too. Great cast. Keep it up. R. Raichu Sigma. Thank you for writing on and everything you just said is, it's how it is. Ivelta deck, real quick. It's amazing with Zoroark. It's going to make a comeback because like Mega Rayquaza, the weakness was electric, making it weak against Jolteon, Nightmarch. So Nightmarch out of the picture. I'm really sure that Ivelta will make a comeback. Glaceon Regice deck, that is a fine.
That's Glaceon EX is so annoying.
It is very annoying. And that's the deck I'm building just for funsies. Jolteon Glaceon deck with Mew. So updates on that soon. And then the Greninja deck, which is my current first tier favorite deck, which is the one I constructed, it's really fun. And it's not that expensive. The only expensive card might be Greninja Brick.
How much is Greninja Brick right now?
I think it runs for like 15. It's not
that's not terrible
either. Yeah, it's not that terrible. And you only need 2. Because it's not smart to run more than 2 bricks for deck. Even if it is the focus, because, you know, it's just weird card. But yeah, no, so Greninja is relatively cheap, and the Greninjas, the good Greninjas, they come in the theme deck. So $25 and you already have 4 Greninjas and the 4 Frigadiers, you already have that deck 80% done. You just have to, you know, have the trainers and all that. And then Raichu is a great card. I don't know much about Raichu Break. But the Raichu, which is just 2 colorless and you do 20 times the number of bench Pokemon your opponent has, is a great, great Mega Rayquaza counter as well. So it's a great, great, card. And of course, Garchomp does lose Focus Sash and Corina. Both are really, really good cards for fighting, and fighting is gonna take a huge hit with this. Which is kinda sad because I love the fact that fighting had so much help. It no longer has that help. So it's going to be entertaining to see how it evolves in a new meta. So anything you want to add, Thatch?
No. I mean, I think those are good. Yep. I mean, if you're looking to build more decks.
Oh, yeah. And I'm super, super glad that we have taken you away from Magic the Gathering and its expensive meta and join us over here over at Pokemon in our equally expensive, but not that much as Magic meta.
Greninja Break, by the way, is like $13 right now.
Oh, so look at that! Yeah, it's a cheap, awesome deck to do, and it's a tier 1 deck. When I say tier 1, it's equally to overuse in VGC. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's a deck that you can take to a tournament and expect to be top 8. It's really, really, really good deck. So that's it for our show. This would be the part again that I would say Pokemon 15 questions, but unfortunately we will have to skip that for next month. I'm sorry. I know we didn't have it last month either, so I apologize for that, but it will come back with a vengeance with Gator's suggestion. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at Puckle Podcast, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us Reddit, Tumble, us in Tumblr. I think it's what the kids call it.
I don't know what it is, honestly.
but more importantly, make sure you review us on iTunes. It really helps us to be out there and more people to find us. And we love it.
And if you say more TCG cash, please, there, maybe there'll be more TCG cash.
Oh, go over at iTunes and ask for more TCG cash. And let's see if we can make our, boss here crumble and say yes. It's not because Thatch is mean. Thatch is an organized host, and you know, there's a lot of things to consider.
Lots of logic involved, exactly, I promise.
Exactly. So, I understand. I mean, it's not that I'm trying to butter her up right now. but in the meantime, also, if you have that extra cash, please feel free to go over at Patreon, become a patron. Donate whatever you can, maybe a single time at PucklePodcast.com, or become a patron, and you are eligible to have some amazing rewards. And of course, more important than everything that we just said, please join us at PucklePodcast.com, because this show is more than just a show. It is a community. We would not be here, and we will not continue to be here if you guys are not part of this amazing community. Go to PucklePodcast, join us on our chat live meetups, and just have some great fun, join our tournaments and everything. And of course, Thatch, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Of course. And I mean, it's like old school Puckle, man.
Old school, for sure. I know you have to take the train back to Lavender Town.
Oh, yeah.
So
I can sleep on the train.
But I have an amazing song for you to listen on your way back, because we all know that at this time, it's closing time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.